Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hello, everybody. This is CJ Liu. Welcome to Fire It Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. And we are continuing our, it's been over a year look at, we've been looking not only at obstacles to self-love, but then how you get to self-love. And today we're going to be talking about forgiveness, which is a part of self-love. And we have Ragini here, who has been working with me over the last couple of, I guess almost a year, the last year we've been looking at. We started off with anger, guilt, shame, the impediments to self-love. And then in the last couple of months, we've been doing gratitude, generosity, sympathetic joy, and now forgiveness. So welcome, Ragini.
Thank you, CJ. It's nice to be here.
And Ragini is a spiritual coach, and really what I like to do with all at the very beginning, if you actually listen to the whole series of these shows, we always have a similar kind of format, which is first to try to understand what these concepts are. So forgiveness, what is forgiveness from a psychological perspective, Ragini?
I think generally it's agreed that forgiveness is releasing your internal desire to punish someone else for their bad behavior or because they hurt you. And the worst form of that, of course, is revenge. Mm-hmm. The most mild form is just irritation and wanting somebody to, you know, just be notified that they were engaging in bad behavior. So it ranges from a very small infraction to a very, very large one, which can produce revenge. Right. So generally speaking, it's releasing the desire to punish someone or make someone else suffer because they've made you suffer.
And I also think of it as judging someone, right? Because aren't what you're doing is you're releasing the punishment, but then also
you're releasing the judgment. Yes.
Yeah, because at least that's where I go for forgiveness.
Yes, yes, because ultimately you have to understand if you want to forgive someone, you want to find out the fastest way, the streamlined edition of forgiveness is to say, well, I actually have done the same thing somewhere in my life to some degree. And therefore, I can see that we're both human. So I'm going to forgive us for being human. And that's the streamlined avenue to forgiveness.
Is that the spiritual perspective or is that part of the spiritual perspective? Or what's the spiritual perspective on forgiveness?
Well, basically, we're all human beings. So you have to forgive yourself for, and everyone else for being human because you expect people to be other than human most of the time. You expect us to be perfect, right, to never harm another person. And we all know that's not true. That's not, right, you can't do that.
Right.
If you're going to harm someone somewhere simply by being you, you're going to act or speak or behave in some way that causes someone else some pain.
Right.
You know, and that is just the nature of being human and having relationships with people. So let's just put it this way. As long as there are relationships, there will be blame and the need for forgiveness.
Right. So you're saying from a spiritual perspective, it's recognizing that we're human and that we will actually have these experiences because we're human and we're in relationships. And because we're in relationships, just there is going to be a probability at one point that
there
we're
is.
Going to have these
things. If there weren't going to be there, you wouldn't need spirituality to remind you that from a spiritual perspective, we're all one and we're all basically the same. Whatever your neighbor is doing, you also have the capacity to do within you. Okay. Now, why they do it and you don't, maybe because they have
wrong. No. That's my perspective on it.
Well, then the next question, that's fine.
Just kidding.
The next question is, well, it's very true, though. That's honestly
feel. That's how
feel.
We think about it. From a human perspective, we think, well, because they're wrong and I'm right, and I don't know why they don't see that.
So then you can ask yourself, so what is it that might be causing them to not see that this is a better way to be? Or if you need to say right, that's okay. And then you have to look at where is their emotional pain or a cold heart or something that happened to them, just as there are places in your life where things that have happened to you that have caused you to behave in unacceptable ways. Right. Now, of course, the first thing in dealing with forgiveness is you have to understand that you want to forgive someone.
Right.
That's the first step in any path of trying
to
forgive.
We even have to get to the point that you're like, I'm now experienced and have felt my anger, frustration, yes, vengeful feelings, that I can now let go of it.
That's right.
Because it's hard to fast forward past it.
Yes, it is. Then you can't fast forward past it. If you try to do that and say you forgive and you still are filled with anger and hurt and rage and shock or whatever, then your forgiveness is just a concept. You're speaking a language thing.
Yeah.
It's not really happening from your heart.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's actually when I've had arguments with, let's say, my husband. And it's like, well, I'm sorry. I'm like, well, you don't sound like you're sorry. Well, I am sorry. It's like, well, you don't sound it.
And that's perfect
that's
example.
Exactly what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, the words themselves have to carry the energy of forgiveness, or it really doesn't transform your heart, or actually doesn't have the power to reach in and help heal the other person's heart.
Right.
Because generally speaking, the other person may need love and acceptance more than you do.
Right.
Because engaging in harmful behaviors means you're fairly asleep or fairly wounded.
Right.
One or the other.
Yeah, that's true.
So. And we're all fairly asleep and fairly wounded.
Right.
So
here's what I'm getting. So the spiritual perspective is, you say, you know, we're all one. So this is me in a different form.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's say I'm mad at John, a hypothetical person. Okay. I don't really know any Johns that I'm mad at, so I think that's pretty safe.
Okay.
I think. Well, let's say I'm mad at John. Then I would say, well, I do know one John I'm mad at, but that's not the person I'm thinking of. Okay, but let's say I'm mad at John, because John said something, you know, hurtful. Like he said something at a party that I thought was really stupid. You know, he made some kind of wise acre remark that I really didn't like. So I'm kind of mad at John for making that comment. Then I could look at him and say, CJ, you've made like 5 bajillion comments just like that.
Yes.
And so as you would want someone to forgive you, you should also therefore forgive John for making that kind of wiseacre comment, because that's, you know, we're one. And so if I forgive him, then what am I forgiving? I'm forgiving myself too, or what's a...
We're forgiving us all for being imperfect. Because we want to be perfect.
Yeah.
We're all flawed. We all have difficulties in areas where we don't shine and where we do what everybody else does, make mistakes and harm other people in thought, word, or deed.
Right.
It's just a human characteristic of the species.
Right.
Now,
right.
Maybe someday when we become more evolved and have reached a new level of consciousness, that won't occur, but I don't think so. I think it will always occur.
Yeah.
Just because it's the nature of the beautiful manifestation of how many different human beings there are. We're all unique. So there's always going to be somebody you disagree with, somebody you think is stupid, or somebody who is going to say something to you in the course of a day or a week or a year that harms you, hurts your feelings, hurts your sense of self in some way.
And I think of it also as like, you can't be conscious all the time. You know what I mean? There's going to be some times when you're having an unconscious moment.
Most of the time,
and you're singing loudly in your car, for example, you know. I do that, but that's one thing. So in the last couple minutes, question for you. So forgiveness, and we were talking about how these relate to fear, and how does forgiveness relate to fear, and how does letting it go relate to love?
Well, when you let go of your blame for someone else, that you're saying, I'm blaming you because you harmed me. Mm-hmm. In a way, it's holding a grudge. Mm-hmm. That definitely takes you closer to fear, because it supports defendedness and mistrust, which is rooted in fear.
Right. So the fear is like, I'm fearful that you're going to hurt me again. Is that the fear?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And so you...
I don't trust you. I'm fearful that you're going to hurt me because you just hurt me in this whatever unconscious act.
Right. And it will probably happen again. So I'm going to go on a defense stance.
Right.
So that when that occurs, I'm not going to, it's not going to harm me.
Yeah,
just
turtle up.
Off me.
Yeah, right. You turtle up, go into fear.
Okay. And that, of course, makes your whole body and nervous system and circulatory system shut down a little bit more. So there's more stress, more anxiety. You actually harm yourself by doing that in terms of health and in terms of your mental freedom and in terms of your heart and in terms of your spiritual path. Fear is not a good place to go and stay. Mm-hmm. Definitely a natural place to go, but not a good place to set up housekeeping.
Right.
Okay. So how do you get out of the house that you've set up that says, I'm going to keep the fear up? Right. You bring in forgiveness. And because, not because you should, but because you suddenly realize, oh my gosh, I've imprisoned myself by fear. Right. And then you say, well, how do I get out of this? Well, the key is to forgive. Well, why would I want to forgive this person? Because they're the same as me. Their transgression might be more harmful than mine are, but nevertheless, they are still the result of being human. Mm-hmm. This is one of the most direct ways to get there. Now, understand that forgiveness is a process. It's not something you just do one day and it's done.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that some more if you'd like.
Yeah, we'll talk about after. Like, many thanks to you, Ragini Michaels, author of the book that's been out for a couple of months, Unflappable: 6 Steps to Staying Peaceful and Happy No Matter What. And don't go anywhere, because in our next segment, we'll be talking to Ragini about how to go about forgiving someone and, you know, how, why is it so hard? I mean, we talked a little bit about it here, but we're just going to go into that in more depth. And folks, if you want to create a happy you and a happy planet, then friend us on Fire It Up with CJ's page on Facebook to get all sorts of great information, including all of the other shows that we did in this series. We'll be right back.
Bogged down by your daily grind, not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
The root cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
Hi, my name is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. Are you a seeker, a dreamer, one of those people who's always known that there should be greater possibilities available but haven't yet been able to create it as your life? I'd like to help. Go to creatinggreaterpossibilities.com, where there's a free video and audio series created especially for you. Once again, creatinggreaterpossibilities.com. It's free, and it's designed to give you the actual tools that you need to create the life you've always been looking for. creatinggreaterpossibilities.com.
Are you ready to triumph over the challenges in your life? Are you ready to create the life you desire? Radio host of the hit show, Get Inspired, Sue London, overcame illness, abuse, disease, divorce, and near death. As a spiritual life coach, Reiki master, motivational speaker, and author, Sue's goal is to help millions of people heal and move forward. Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host, Sue London. Host Sue London and her weekly guest will bring you tools, techniques, products, and services that will help you get inspired to create the life you desire. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern to be inspired by radio host Sue London and her guest to help you create the life you desire. For more details, please visit AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Did you know most coffee, not all, have hidden dangers lurking in it? A recent investigation into grocery store coffee revealed three dangers. First, modern coffee farming produces dangerously high acidity and caffeine. Second, mold content in grocery store coffee contains dangerous toxins. Yuck. Third, government agencies have found grocery store coffee containing 400 times the carcinogens allowed in drinking water. You will be relieved to know that Camano Island Coffee Roasters takes the worry out of your sip of coffee. Imagine how your coffee tastes without mold, carcinogens, or poison. Get your free coffee report, The Five Hidden Dangers Lurking in Your Coffee Cup. Visit NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com to get your free copy now. That's NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com. And check out Camano Island Coffee Roasters.
Transformation Talk Radio.
This is CJ Liu, and I am here with Ragini Michael. Thank you so much for listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. And we are continuing our look on forgiveness and our series on obstacles to self-love. And this is the answer, the antidote, shall we say, to fear, which is moving towards love. And forgiveness is all part of that. And we are honored to have Ragini Michaels here, who is talking to us about forgiveness. Welcome, Ragini.
Thank you. It's good to be here yet again.
So why do you think it's so hard for us to forgive?
Well, before we go any further, I want to make one comment that anything that I say about forgiveness here today, I just want to make clear, does not apply to people who have been victims of child abuse. That's a more complicated issue. So if that's something that's going on for you, just put what we're saying aside for right now, because I don't really want to go into that right now, but the same thing doesn't really apply there. So in the same way. So just so people aren't clear that we're not saying
that
there's
a whole gamut of things that fall into, like, well, should I forgive someone who's like...
It's not a question of should I forgive. It's a question of is it in my best interest to forgive this person at this time? And that depends on the heinousness of the crime that was done against you. Okay. Right. So I just want to say that sort of a disclaimer.
I promise not to go there. It's really clear. You even get near like arms, the boundary. Don't go there. I will not go there. Okay.
So your question was, why is it so hard for us to forgive others sometimes?
Yes.
Okay. So the obvious one is that we talked about a little is you want them to pay for the harm that they did to you, the hurt they did to you. And this relates back to the idea of self-importance, that again, I have set myself apart from you, and I think that I am more important than you, and no matter what's going on in your universe, you should know that you shouldn't distress mine. Let me give you a small example here. I was in the grocery store the other day, and I was in the line with express line with two items.
Right.
Well, there were only two checkouts open. Yes. They were both express. And this woman comes up with this big basket full of stuff, right? And a kid. She's very overweight. She has a child with her. She doesn't look like somebody who lives in a hugely big house with lots of money. Okay.
Right.
So I stop with my little middle class upbringing, you know, to let her go first, assuming she is going to do the natural thing that I've been brought up with, which is, oh no, you only have two items, you go first. Okay.
Well, no, but you got there before her?
No, we were both coming up at the same time, but I could have kept going forward and gotten in ahead of her easily. Right. I didn't have a basket, right?
Yeah.
So I could have done that, but my little polite conditioning said, you don't do that, right? So she didn't do that. She just pushed her basket right in front of me and went in and then went through a long thing with the sales clerk.
How many items did she have? I know you counted.
Oh, 15. 15?
And she should have had 10, right?
Yes. And she had food stamps and other kinds of things.
Right.
And so as I'm watching her, I'm standing there feeling very irritated, of course. Irritation is arising, and I'm going, yes, irritation is arising. Here it is. Oh, feel that irritation. I don't like that woman. Feel that dislike of that woman. I am blaming her for making me late for my next appointment. Right.
Right.
And then suddenly I go, Ragini, how many times have you inconvenienced other people in a line somewhere, somehow, because you wanted to argue with the clerk or you didn't have the right money or something like that? And I went, oh, all right. I understand I'm separating me from her because she's inconveniencing me because I'm more important than her, which is my point of this little vignette. I was really struggling at that moment with the arising of self-importance, which was much stronger in me than being able to simply allow what was happening to unfold. Mm-hmm. The minute, however, that I made us equal, right? Mm-hmm. That we were both human and I had done the same thing she was doing and inconvenienced others, I was able to relax and accept the situation for what it was. But I had to forgive her right. for being human and for engaging in what my upbringing says was a rude behavior, which I've done 100 times to other people, right. knowingly and unknowingly.
Yeah. It's so funny. I actually had that reaction, like, oh, who do you think you are? You can just, like, mm-hmm. slide in there with all your 15 items. But then I actually have that who do you think you are kind of, like,
well,
you're more important than me.
That's the projection of my self-importance.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and I also have, but see, I actually have a slightly different thing, and this is congruent with my personality, where I have to be the judge and the witness, mm-hmm. Throwing guilty and not guilty signs. So it is different. Like, I go to a place of judgment of, like, that's not right. That's not morally right. You shouldn't be doing that. It does say on the sign 10. And so when you do that, you break the rules for all of us. You know, I go
so this,
there.
This is not only inconveniencing you, it's breaking a moral edict. You should not do what the sign doesn't say.
Yeah, I think it should say at the end, punishable by death. Over 15. No, actually, I don't care. No, but in those particular examples, I'm constantly breaking the system because mm-hmm. I feel like if there's no one there, I don't see anywhere in sight, there's 3 lines of which there are different options to have mm-hmm. 10 items or less. I just go in there because I have maybe 11 or I think, well, 3 apples, is that 1 or is that 3?
So the people behind you have to forgive you for breaking the rule.
Yeah, I'm actually more likely to break the rule in that particular case. But generally when I'm having forgiveness issues, it's more about judging someone's morality, whether that's morally right or wrong. Mm-hmm. But of course, here we have an example of exactly what you're talking about. I'm doing something in someone else's perspective is morally incorrect.
That's right. Basically, you have to understand if you want to go through life fairly easily that everybody's viewpoint is valid and incomplete.
Yeah.
It's simply not the whole truth about anything because it's just one point of view.
Yeah.
When you really get that into your being, a lot of judging and blaming other people kind of dissipates because you have to honor that their perspective is valid and incomplete
right.
as is yours.
Yeah. Yeah.
It allows us to it kind of oils the wheels of social interaction a little bit because you are bound to bump into other people's realities with sharp corners. And if we know that, oh, that hurt a little bit because I don't believe that, then if you can say, well, yeah, but that's part of the beauty of life is there's however many people there are, there's that many perspectives of reality.
Right, that are ripe and incomplete.
Right.
You know, it's funny because my
valid
kids,
and incomplete, valid, not right. Valid.
That's my own take on it. But yes, valid but incomplete. My kids actually, when I say something to them, sometimes I don't go into lecture mode too much, but I go like, well, here's my perspective. And then I'll go in, but it kind of feels lectury, you know, because as a parent, it's really hard not to go there. But they'll say to me, I get it. I don't necessarily agree with it, but we don't have to agree. I'm like, oh, don't. Like, it's like a jiu-jitsu move.
Because your children are very young.
Yeah, they are. So me say, because they've heard me saying that so many times, and now they like do the little move back to me. But it's the spirit
same
of it
thing.
Emanates from that same valid but incomplete.
Yes.
Well, now my children do that to me.
When you have
me.
That, it's much easier to walk away from blaming people for being who they are, doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
And instead turn around and send forgiveness.
Yeah.
For being human.
Yes, absolutely. So question for you next is, what happens? They always say, you need to forgive. Why? Because you hurt yourself more. And in the previous segment, you talked about some of the outcomes for forgiveness. Is that, you know, it takes a physical toll on you because you turtle up, you get all fearful, you kind of get into that fight or flight kind of modality. Like you do in any positions of fear, and that's not healthy for you. But what are the other reasons why they say, because the spiritual people are like, you need to forgive because you need to mostly do that for your own self-love. Why do they say that?
Because when you're in the mode of blaming and holding a grudge, your heart hardens.
Oh.
When your heart hardens, you can't really tune in to the flow of life as it is before your grudge starts to twist it around into this funny little shape, right? That makes you feel contracted and tight.
Right.
So if you want to be open in the world and be spiritual, you want your heart to stay soft. But don't misunderstand me. That doesn't mean you become a marshmallow who's a pushover.
Right, it's not to be soft, but you want your heart to
be soft. You want your heart to be soft instead of having it harden against the experience of being human. Because you are human and you're going to make mistakes, and so is everyone else that you meet, and you're going to hurt each other. I can't tell you how many times I hear people say, "What can I do so I won't ever get hurt again?" Well, there's nothing you can do except die.
I was going to say kill yourself, and that would be nice. But you said it to them.
you're going to get your feelings hurt. The only thing you can do is understand it's not the end of the world. You understand that you can manage and tolerate and survive hurt feelings. And that in itself is a huge step forward in being able to forgive other people. You have to understand your feelings of hurt are not going to kill you. And when your ego is what's been hurt, when your sense of who you are has been offended, then you have to really work with that. Most of us do, because we're so identified with our ego being, our sense of identity being the things that we do and say and believe and hold, instead of being the divine itself in form, which is a spiritual perspective.
Right.
But if you're talking spiritual, then you want to get to that so that you can allow, you can see these differences as the diversity of existence. I mean, how, you know, the universe makes, what nature makes, how many kinds of different birds?
Right.
Right. And did you know that every whale can be identified by a different pattern on its underside? Did you know that?
Yeah.
Isn't that fascinating? So every one of us is unique. If you can get in the position of being able to appreciate that uniqueness, forgiveness is much easier to do, because you realize everybody's on their own journey. Everybody's on their own path. And if they needed to offend you as part of what they needed to do, whether you want to bring in karma or some other idea, if you can forgive, it serves you better and makes the world a better place, because your heart is more open.
Well, your heart doesn't harden, like as you said, your heart doesn't harden up, which means that you can't necessarily even experience joy and love yourself, because your heart is kind of hardened.
And generally speaking, people who do harm to other people have hardened hearts. So you want to stay away from that in your own.
Right. Well, unless you just have compassion, like probably they've had a lot of instances in their life that have created that particular thing that you're seeing, whatever that is, cutting in line or whatever. So you just forgive. Who knows what may have happened to that woman with her kid. Like maybe her kid was in the emergency room and she was stressed out and she just needed to get food.
The circumstances don't really matter. Everybody has the same experiences.
Yeah, but in my mind, whenever I see that and I'm ready, okay, when something that's hard or painful happens to me and I go into that place of jumping to wanting to, and instead of suffering, I just go into creating stories.
Yes.
Now what I try to do when I'm in those situations, I try to create another story that may not even be true. Mm-hmm. Could be that she's a jerk and she cut in front of me and she's selfish and narcissistic and all these other things. And who does she think she is? Or it could be like she just had an awful day. You know, her daughter was in the emergency room and she just lost her job. I mean, could equally be that. And
there's,
I don't know what it
reasons.
Is. So I just say, all right, I don't know what the story is, but assumes that she's in a hurry and she needs to go. All right. So thank you again, Ragini. Ragini Michael is an internationally recognized speaker and behavioral change and author of a book out now, Unflappable, 6 Steps to Staying Peaceful and Happy No Matter What. Up next, what I love doing with Ragini is I always torturously take her through real life examples so that we know how, when we're actually suffering from these things, how to deal with it in real life. And if you want to create a happy you and a happy planet, then go to iTunes, iTunes Store, type in Fired Up with CJ in the search box, and then you can click a little button and get a free weekly subscription to our show. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller, 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You, too, can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Imagine a chocolate so decadent that you'd never believe it could be good for you. Align your inner bliss with Mother Nature's magic. The power of cold-pressed cocoa by Shasai, the healthy chocolate. Shasai is everything you ever dreamed healthy should taste like. We combine unprocessed cocoa with acai and blueberry for an unbeatable high-oxidant powerhouse. Shasai, the healthy chocolate. Visit us at lifesaverchocolate.com or call 888-287-2011.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Ascension Foundation, serving to build an interdimensional community. The Ascended Masters invite you to join them in co-creating this mission. Allow the Masters to lead the way in activating the wisdom of your heart consciousness and raising your vibration. You can communicate with them directly by attending apportation events and classes in mediumship, crystal light energy healing, alchemy, master studies, past life regression, and more. For a schedule of classes, workshops, and special events, visit theascensionfoundation.com. That's theascensionfoundation.com.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
Transformations Talk Radio.
This is CJ Liu. Happy 4th of July. It's a day after 4th of July, our Independence Day.
Yay! Woo!
And we are here with Ragini Michaels teaching us how to be independent of forgiveness. No, that doesn't work.
Independent of blame.
Independent of blame. That's what it is.
I guess.
So this is actually part of a series that Ragini and I've done over the course of, I think, almost a year or so, where we're looking at things that are impediments to self-love or impediments to self-love. And now we're moving towards self-love, and forgiveness is definitely part of that.
Yes, it is.
So what I like to do is take real life scenarios. So we're going to talk about someone. This happened recently to a friend of mine whose husband found that her, she found out that her husband for 16 years had been cheating on her for the last 14 years. Okay. So So let's use your program here. How do we go about forgiving? You know, I mean, because this is someone who is, you know, shocked out. She was shocked out. She had no idea any of this was happening.
Well, the first thing you have to do in a situation that is that extreme mm-hmm. is deal with the shock. You can't do anything until you started releasing some of the shock. So there's a lot of tools out there in the world today in the field of energy psychology mm-hmm. that would help a person begin to move through this a little more quickly than if, because sometimes you can stay in shock from something like that for a really long time.
Yeah.
You need to be in there for a little while, but then you can help process it through your system with energy psychology tools.
What's a really long time to be in shock? I mean, I don't know because I haven't worked a lot of patients with these kind of scenarios.
Well, sometimes you can be in shock when you lose a spouse from death for up to 3 years.
Oh, wow.
So you really don't start feeling it a whole lot for a long time. That's part of your protection. So you want to honor that something, again, that extreme,
right. Okay,
is going to be shocking.
Right.
When that means you're going to shut down.
Right.
You're not going to be able to deal with it directly mm-hmm. too quickly. So you want to see somebody who has like energy psychology tools, which are designed to help release the emotional charge on trauma. This scenario would fit into a traumatic event.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
So you would need to approach it as a trauma and bring down the emotional charge on your sense of shock, betrayal, anger, hurt, fear of the future. I mean, there's enormous numbers of emotions there that you need to at least get down to the place where you can, they're not stopping you from being able to just be, mm-hmm. right? You know, they're going to be very strong, paralyzing you, that we don't want them to paralyze you anymore. Once you've done that, okay, then
can I mention one thing?
Sure.
Just so people have tools, because people may not be familiar with energy mm-hmm. psychology. I know that emotional freedom tapping is one of those, there's almost an EFT.
EFT is
almost, there's a practitioner almost anywhere in the States.
There's practitioners so many places. Plus you can go on the web and look up emotional freedom technique or EFT, or you can go to TAT, tap is acupressure technique. And these are techniques that you can actually do on your own. Although I do recommend that you have somebody who knows how to do it with you when you're in this kind of extreme scenario that you've described here today.
Right.
On other things, where you're just angry with someone and it's not such a shock, for example, those things you can probably, you know, work with on your own.
Right.
But the first thing you have to do once you've got your emotions under control,
to some degree,
because it takes a long time sometimes to forgive someone, depending on the depth. It took me, for example, 10 years to forgive a 13-year-long relationship that I was in for not working. It took mm-hmm. me 10 additional years to forgive the man that I was with in that relationship. Thank goodness I managed to do it before he died, which he then did.
Wow, 20 years.
Well, 13 years together and 10 years to forgive him afterwards.
Okay, got it.
Okay, so the reason I'm sharing that is because it's helpful to understand that forgiveness can be a process over time. Don't think of it as a place to get to and you're done.
Mm.
Because it can continue to come back, the feelings of hurt, the feelings of betrayal, the feelings of anger. And when they do, you must deal with the emotion. You have to face the fact that you have the emotion and feel it in whatever way you can. If you don't have energy psychology and you don't have a therapist, call a friend up and say, I need to talk. Can you listen to me? And that's all they need to do while you speak or cry or do whatever you need to do. Once that's done, then you can say, okay, I think I'm ready to try and forgive this person,
mm-hmm.
okay, because I want to. Not because I should, but because it's in my own best interest to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things you can do is ask yourself, what is it that caused that person to behave in that way?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What could be going on in that person emotionally? In other words, do they have emotional shortcomings that actually are the reason why they treated me in this way? And if you can identify that, and this is, again, a little tricky, then you say, well, I feel compassion
mm-hmm.
that they have a cold heart or they've had these difficulties in their life that mm-hmm. caused them to be unable to treat me the way that I deserve to be treated,
mm-hmm.
right? So you can go in that route, which can open up compassion, which allows you to give forgiveness.
Okay. Yeah.
Again, if you're in, and then you can ask yourself, was there anything I did to contribute to this situation? Is there anything I can learn from this? Okay, scenario where I was betrayed by this other person. And then you can look at your own behavior, and if there isn't, then you say, fine, there's nothing for me to learn here. And if there is, you can grab that and learn it, you know, mm-hmm. take that in as you're learning.
Mm-hmm.
The other big important piece, I think, is to offer yourself another understanding of betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a pretty spiritually based one, okay? But if you want to change your definition of betrayal, instead of thinking that person betrayed you, what you need to do is allow that person to live their path and their journey the way they need to, which included their treating you the way they did.
Right, so they're on their path. For some reason, both of us on our paths were forced to experience this thing,
right?
In theory, for our mutual benefit, of which I haven't necessarily discovered yet.
That's right.
That's right.
And if you believe that everybody's on their path and they're here to learn, there has to be sometimes when we interact with each other in a way that perhaps is for their journey, not ours, or
right.
perhaps it's for both,
right.
or just mine, and they did it for me for that reason. If you're going to look at it from a very esoteric level and take some of the spiritual beliefs that are out there today and apply them, the key here is to find a different way to understand someone behaving in a way that's hurtful.
Right.
Because betrayal is not an easy thing to get out from under. To think someone betrayed you is very heartbreaking. But to be able to step back and say, you know, they were just, and this again is a very esoteric spiritual perspective, but people talk about it and here's a way to use it in real life. That person is on their journey and this is what they had to do. This is their experience. Whether they learn from it is not my business, but I can forgive it.
Yeah. You know, it's in the two books that I've read recently, James John Prague and then also Ainsley MacLeod, who I interviewed a couple months ago, they talk about a soul family. And the soul family are some people on your spiritual journey who are there to just press your buttons.
Right.
And so you view that as thank you. Thank you for teaching me the lesson that I needed to learn in this particular right. lifetime. Or they could be thanking you, and it's like, I know I'm not getting anything out. This is what you're just saying. I know I'm not getting anything out of it. But
the thing that you want to do here is find a way to look at your experience that frees you from having to hold on to a grudge and blame.
Yeah.
Because what that does is you gain your power back. The minute you blame somebody or you get hung up in being upset because they betrayed you, and it lasts over time and forms into a grudge, which is what a blame is over time, becomes a grudge. You've given up your power to heal that wound. So the way you bring your power back, right, is you say that person was, I'm going to let that person do what they need to do on their path, and I'm going to move on. I'm not going to look at this as betrayal anymore. This was not personal.
How is it that you're giving up your power, though? Because you've
given it up to your grudge.
Oh, so I'm letting my grudge and blame get in the way of healing.
That's
how I'm giving it.
Instead of using your power to heal, you're using your power to harm yourself by holding on to the grudge, which is why people say forgiveness is essential for you, not for the party that you're angry at, right? Because I can have people not forgive me, and it doesn't have to stop me and my personal growth.
Right.
If I forgive myself.
Right.
For what I did.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Interesting. Okay. Got it. So what if a point, and I think actually a lot of us, when I've talked to people who have had situations like this, including myself, you do really, because you said there are three steps. So here's what I'm hearing. One, deal with the shock. There are a bunch of energy tools out there. Two, process and deal with it. The second is when you try to neutralize yourself, that's what the energy tools do. So it's deal with the shock, neutralize yourself, and then move to a point of understanding what caused them or you to actually get in this scenario to begin with. And one of the helpful things to do is the spiritual perspective that we just right. talked about. What I often find myself stuck in is I can't figure out why they've done this. And I know that you've said to me before, just because they're unconscious, it could just be that they're unconscious and that could be enough. But I think sometimes you almost have to let go of knowing why. Like, I don't know why, and I may never know why.
You have to let go of why, of needing to know why.
Because sometimes it's irrational.
Because all you're going to do is stay going around and around in your mind, and forgiveness is about dropping into your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So you may never know.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Did you know most coffee, not all, have hidden dangers lurking in it? A recent investigation into grocery store coffee revealed three dangers. First, modern coffee farming produces dangerously high acidity and caffeine. Second, mold content in grocery store coffee contains dangerous toxins. Yuck. Third, government agencies have found grocery store coffee containing 400 times the carcinogens allowed in drinking water. You will be relieved to know that Camano Island Coffee Roasters takes the worry out of your sip of coffee. Imagine how your coffee tastes without mold, carcinogens, or poison. Get your free coffee report, The 5 Hidden Dangers Lurking in Your Coffee Cup. Visit NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com to get your free copy now. That's NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com. And check out Camano Island Coffee Roasters.
Change your coffee experience forever with Camano Island Coffee Roaster. Fair trade, certified organic, shade-grown delicious coffee. The Camano Island Coffee Roasters are giving back. Receive a free pound of the most popular single origin coffee, Papua New Guinea, to the first 250 callers. The number is toll-free, 855-438-8671. Just pay $8.95 shipping and handling, and you can try triple certified coffee for yourself. The number is toll-free, 855-438-8671. This is a free pound of coffee that retails at $16.95. Once you've tried this coffee, you will automatically be enrolled in the Coffee Lovers Club for free and will always receive free shipping and nearly 30% off retail of your coffee orders. This coffee is going to knock your socks off. That number again is 855-GET-TOP-1. We say top one because this coffee is the top 1% grade. That's 855-438-8671.
Tune in each week on Wednesdays at 12 Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And Dr. Peggy will lead you through the maze of info on topics from allergies and antioxidants to zinc and xylitol and all points in between, providing you with simple solutions to help you achieve optimal health for your mind, body, and spirit. Visit SimpleHealthNetwork.com to take your health back and get your copy of Dr. Peggy's amazing cookbook, OMG! That's allergy free.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
This is CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fire It Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. I am here with Ragini Michaels, who we're talking about forgiveness. And in this case, in the previous segment, we talked about how you basically forgive someone else. In this segment, we're going to talk about how you ask for forgiveness when you've screwed up. Okay, so welcome back, Ragini.
Good to be here again.
So let's say that you've made a mistake. How do you go about apologizing, or what do you think are the aspects of the apology that are really important to consider?
I think the two words that are the most important are, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Said with genuine, honest feelings of sadness and regret that you harmed someone else's feelings by what you did. I was just working with the person who does my music and my videos, does the recording as well, the other day. We were in his studio, and I said something to him. I don't remember what it was. And he said to me, you know, Ragini, if you would say that in a different tone of voice, it wouldn't make me feel like an idiot, and I'd probably respond differently. Now, in the past, my response would have been very defensive, saying, well, if you would just, you know, speak up, you know, and be clear or whatever, but I would have had an argument. This time, I was able to say, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. You know, that's a pattern of mine that I've been working on for a long time now, and it was not my intention to hurt you or make you feel stupid, because you're not. So I'm sorry. Please accept my apologies. I'll try not to do it anymore. I'm working on it.
Right.
Okay. Now, to me, that's a good apology. First of all, because it was said clearly with honest feeling of mm-hmm. sadness that I hurt his feelings.
Yeah.
And secondly, it didn't go into anything about, you know, if you had X, then I wouldn't have had to do Y.
Right.
Okay. And so when
I did X because these following things happen.
Right.
Justification.
A good apology does not have justification or rationalizations in it for your behavior
yeah.
or defensiveness.
Right.
And so that's important to exclude that kind of stuff from your apologies and simply ask to be forgiven for what you've done and say those magic words that work so wonderful with human beings if they're said filled with sadness and heart.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so sorry I did that.
Yeah.
So if you can access sadness that you've hurt someone's feelings, you know, like, you know, when you step on your dog or your cat's paw, you get a certain urge of, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I did not mean to hurt you. You defenseless little poor thing, right? Well, you don't want to look at people as defenseless and poor, but they are soft.
Right.
Human beings are very, very soft.
Right.
And we hurt easily.
Yeah.
We're very thin-skinned. Human.
Well, I think that in the example that you gave, it's I'm sorry, which are the two magic words, and saying that alone can make, can shift every, saying that alone and from a very sincere place can shift everything.
Right.
And then what you said further on is you said, I'm sorry, and I think you owned what your side of it was. You're like, I've been working on that for a really long time. You owned what was yours and are responsible for the part that you contributed in that harm. Mm-hmm. And then you said, I didn't mean to harm you, and I won't do it again.
Now, to get to that place for me was difficult because I had so much pride.
Right.
Right. And I didn't want to say that I had made a mistake. So I got defensive and I had more arrogance in my I'm sorry's, you know.
Right.
And that actually covered a strong sense of lack of importance, okay, and a low sense of self-esteem, which I wasn't wanting to look at. So the pride was the way I kept myself away from it.
Yeah.
So once you can get past that, it's much easier to own the fact that you're just human and you're going to make mistakes and you're going to hurt other people's feelings, even when you don't want to.
Yeah.
And that's the key, because that's where mindfulness and spirituality comes in, because then you get to be present to what you're doing. In that moment, in that little vignette, I was not present to what I said to him in that moment, or I never would have said it that way.
Right, right. And so another thing that we were talking during the break, we were talking about forgiveness, and there is an instance where I was actually at a restaurant and someone spilled a whole drink on top of me. And then I sat and proceeded to be in a kind of wet position during the entire meal. And I was kind of fuming because a person never apologized. And
really?
Yeah. And what I really wanted was, I'm sorry I spilled this whole thing of, you know, liquid on you. I can imagine that it's really uncomfortable for you. I am going to bring a towel for you so that you can dry yourself off versus you having to ask me for napkins repeatedly. Can you tell a little bit? I do forgive her. But anyway, so, and then, like, you never said to your sorry. And then basically you are now, you know, you could have said, I'm sorry. I must be super uncomfortable. Here's some napkins or something. And then what would have been nice is, I'm sorry. And here's how I'm going to make amends. I'm going to, you know, give you a free dessert or not charge you for the drink I spilled over you that you didn't get to drink or something. But I think that there's there is a different kind of apology, but it's similar. It's just another format. Because I think sometimes it's about owning up some of the things that you said. But it has a similar kind of algorithm, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I'm sorry because I guess I spilled water. I spilled water on you, and I completely did it by accident. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Let me see if I can make amends by giving you a towel minimally, and then saying, like, you know, doing something to try to make it better, which would for me would have been to just not charge me for the drink.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think that those are some.
I think the thing that's
algorithms.
Similar in those two is saying you're sorry and owning what you did.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's interesting to note is that you can also get in the habit of saying I'm sorry without it meaning anything.
Yeah.
Years back, I used to do trainings in Germany and Italy as well, mm-hmm. and the Europeans really called me on how many times I said I'm sorry, because I was raised in the Midwest.
Right.
So in the Midwest in America, you say you're sorry for everything.
Right.
And really what you're kind of saying is, I'm sorry I exist. Please
right.
forgive me for taking
right.
up space. And this really got to them a lot, because there was no presence to my I'm sorry's, and
right.
there was no genuine feeling of being sorry. It was an automatic habit that was pretty much empty of any genuine feeling
mm-hmm.
other than please forgive me for existing, which was really not something that you want to ask other people to
mm-hmm.
do.
Yeah.
So there also is that to look for whether or not you have the habit of saying I'm sorry just as a habit of a way to sort of excuse yourself just generally for being who you are.
Right.
And that isn't what we're talking about either. That's
right.
not a genuine extension of asking for forgiveness.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's another place to look forward to it.
I want to mention one more thing since we have a little bit more time. You know, one of the things I wanted to share with folks is I went to a Buddhist retreat, and in that particular case, I was still, I mean, it's esoteric, but I was still mad at God for taking my dad away,
mm-hmm.
which I viewed prematurely because he died of a heart attack. And, you know, it's like, boom, gone. Like, he was there, next minute gone.
Yeah.
And so I was really mad at God.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did and what I loved about this Buddhist poem was it really got me, and I think somehow reading this poem over and over again gets you into acknowledging where you're stuck
mm-hmm.
in terms of apology. But I'm going to share it with you. And what it does is it asks for you to forgive yourself,
mm-hmm.
which I think is really important, because oftentimes we don't even forgive ourselves and we suffer because
right.
of our hardening of our heart that we talked
right.
about earlier in the other segments. And then the other is you ask for forgiveness. Like in your particular case, with the recording, you said, please forgive me. Right. So I think that that's important.
Mm-hmm.
And the third is, you know, you forgive that person for any way which they, you know, maybe unintendedly try to harm you. So there are three levels of forgiveness. But the poem goes like this. For any way that I've caused harm to myself knowingly or unknowingly in thought, action, or deed because of anger, fear, or confusion, I offer forgiveness for myself. For any way that I've caused harm to another knowingly or unknowingly in thought, action, or deed because of anger, fear, or confusion, I ask for forgiveness. And for any way that I've been harmed by another knowingly or unknowingly in thought, action, or deed because of fear, anger, or confusion, I offer forgiveness as much as possible in this moment. And I really like that, because when I was actually going through that, I actually found the places where I was holding on to forgiveness, and it helped me focus on some and allow me to soften my heart as a result.
These are beautiful meditations to sit in and contemplate and say over and over again. And the vibrational energy of these sentences actually starts to soften the heart a lot as you really contemplate them and reflect on them as you say them. It's a great meditation.
Yeah, I love that meditation. So thank you, Ragini.
You're very
thank
welcome.
Thank you so much. Ragini, tell us about, plug your book, please. And make sure to put the title in.
My book is available at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And you can also order it off my website. And the name of it is Unflappable, 6 Steps to Staying Happy, Centered, and Peaceful, No Matter What. A very practical, fun, informative, and easy-to-read book. Go get it.
It's yes,
fun.
Yay!
It'll help you.
Go get it. Yeah, and it's it. I mean, if you have had the fortune of listening to Ragini's advice over the last year, it really is beautiful and comes from a really grounded, loving place. So thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, folks, for WBLQ, Chris and Brian. And goodbye, everyone. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio. Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio.
TransformationTalkRadio.com, transforming the world. stop. Get out of that car. Stop living your life in the passenger seat. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com and let us help you drive.